Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. We went through the book of Acts together, but tonight I want to just tie in a simple thought tonight on this whole subject of goals and values. What a blessing it is to learn the principle that Proverbs teaches. You know, the passage where it talks about there are four things that have wisdom, and God out of nature teaches us Bible principles for living. And he talks about how the ants work so hard, and they plan ahead for this for the time when have preparation, and they anticipate, the conies anticipate, and they have their home in the rocks, and the locusts, they organize themselves, and the spider has determination. You clean out the web and you have to come back and do it again because there's a determination. There's four wisdom principles there we sometimes refer to. And one of those is anticipating and planning ahead. And I have been so blessed within our church to just see the participation within our church family to work together on strategic planning. I think we've all been encouraged as we've looked back on how God blessed the efforts of making some plans. And over a three-year period, we had some plans. We said, if God would allow us, these are some things we'd like to see accomplished to his glory. And we prayed, we worked together, and God's been good. And I love these screens beside us because that was part of the plan. And that was a material thing. But there were many ministry plans that God has allowed us to really see fruit come from. And I want to share one of the blessings tonight that recently, just this last week, was a blessing from one of those ministry plans. But tonight, a little later in the business meeting, we'll be talking about the plan for the next 3 to 5 years. And part of that plan is to make some improvements around here. And I think part of our meeting tonight will be voting about these parking lots. And it's just wonderful that because of the grace of God in providing, we're able to look ahead and do new things because other things have been taken care of. I often think of that quote, if you shoot for nothing, you'll hit it every time. And how important it is for us to have godly goals for our own personal lives. What is my goal every day for getting into the Word of God? What is the burden on my heart for prayer? What is the burden for witnessing? What is the plan for growing as a family? Granted, as we would set goals, sometimes it's a process of reaching that goal. And it's God giving us the desire and the power to fulfill those things, not in our own strength, but in his strength. But part of the plan that we've been working on, and some of you participated in the small groups, many of you participated in the survey, is all of that's being worked on by folks here within our church to work on this new strategic plan. You'll hear a little bit about that this evening, but I just wanted to pull out a couple things to point out to you tonight that you'll be hearing more about as we kind of finalize a lot of the input we've gotten back from the church family, and we're still working with those things in the next few weeks, but eventually we'd like to come back to the church as we did previously with a plan proposal and actually allow you to see that plan and ask questions about it based on all the input that's come, and then have our church vote on that plan that, God willing, God helping us, we would like to set this as a goal, these plans, the Lord helping us as we would move ahead in the days ahead. But let me just show you a few slides that are part of the current strategic plan that is being worked on, and that is the mission of Calvary Baptist Church. And you've seen this. It's in our bulletin. It's in the fine print on your bulletin, but it should be hopefully something that is in our hearts, and that is to glorify God. We remind ourselves that's the foundation of why we're here. It's to his glory in worshiping him. And we talked about that today, that our character is the outflow of our worship. If we are a God-focused people, then our lives will be caught up in the things that are near and dear to God's heart. We're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And then as a result, and by meeting the biblical needs of people, God's left us here for a reason. And those reasons would be accomplished through compassionate evangelism, discipleship, and ministry. And so we look through the scriptures and we find that all of these aspects of what we've decided as a church is a good reflection of why we're here. This is biblical, and it's not just our plan. We believe we're working together on God's plan. Well, as I think about trusting God to do things that only He can do and asking Him for grace, I was blessed on this time around. We've been working on actually breaking down some core values. And out of those values, I'll put up a chart in a moment that makes it a little more clear, but a biblical foundation, the preeminence of Christ, God-centered worship, Christ-like love, humble service and leadership, personal outreach, and godly stewardship. And we've put that into a little bit of a chart form here, and I appreciate all the help that Michael G. has been and others in kind of compiling all of these thoughts. And I think this chart is a good picture. CBC mission and values. And there you'll see in the top to glorify God. And then those foundational principles on the bottom, biblical foundation, preeminence of Christ, God-centered worship. And tonight I'd like to just focus briefly on those four pillars. And that is these core values, Christ-like love, humble service, and personal outreach. And we've turned to Acts 1 to a familiar verse there that we'll read in a moment, and then godly stewardship. And I got to looking at those core values and saying, yes, Lord, thank you, that to a measure, those things are true values that we hold dear because the Bible teaches these things. And now we want these values to become increasingly a part of how we live our lives. And I was praising God as I just looked at these values and refreshed in my mind, God's been so faithful. He's been faithful to us as individuals and as a church family. Last night, as this place was filled with families, many of whom are from this community and probably have not heard the gospel. The illustration that was used in the message was two balloons started on each side from the back, and everybody had to bounce them toward the front in a team effort to get them up to the leader in the front, where then there was a contest to see which side popped the balloon first. But it was an illustration that through a team effort, things can be accomplished that couldn't otherwise be accomplished. And I was thinking how well that fits with our Ephesians 4 passage, where it says that the pastors and teachers are given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That is, all of us, we're all different. God is wonderful in His creativity. No two people are exactly alike. We all have different gifts and personalities and makeups, but once we come to Christ, we're one in Christ, and the Holy Spirit then gives us different abilities, and every person in the body, every teenager, boy and girl, every young person, every adult is needed in the family of Christ to work together as a team to accomplish the goals of glorifying God and fulfilling the mission He has for the local church. And that Christ-like love, I was thinking, you know, Jeff is a multi-talented guy. I was watching him. He's up here today leading singing. But I was watching him yesterday coaching a girls' basketball team. Now, that was interesting to see Jeff, you know, all 6'5" of him down on his knees coaching these girls, you know, and talking to them. They're just doing a great job connecting with Christ-like love. And I see that over and over going on in the ministries that God's allowed us as a church to take on. A Christ-like love. I see it in the teachers in our Christian school. I see it in the Sunday school teachers. I saw it this morning in Sunday school. A new visitor, somebody suggests we shouldn't call visitors visitors. Well, that's going to be a re-education for me because I've called them visitors for years. So I'm re-educating myself right now. They're guests. They're guests in our church. And so there was a guest here this morning who had been a guest at the Wild Game Dinner. And I happened to meet him at the Wild Game Dinner. Walking down the hall this morning, here he was. He walked in the door. He came back from a special event now to a regular church service. Well, I knew it was special he was here because I happened to meet him at the Wild Game Dinner, and he shared with me, he said, "This is the first time I've been in a church in 20 years. And someone from this church invited him to come to that Wild Game Dinner." So when I saw him here this morning, I said, well, this is of God. Here's a man, he came to a special event Now he's here for a regular church service. Lord, let this be a blessed day. Speak to his heart through the local church. And so I got to walk him down to a Sunday school class. I hadn't been in the class for about a minute before someone from that class walked right up and introduced themselves and said, "Hey, would you come and sit with me?" I said, "Praise the Lord. That's Christ-like love at work. That's the body of Christ reaching out and showing the love of Christ." That encouraged me today. And I see that. I see that in your lives. And I pray that we will see that abound more and more and more. And then the other pillar there of humble service. We talked about that. It just takes a lot of people. I looked at last night after Upward Basketball outside of Pastor Mark's office. And all of these balls, basketballs that were left over. By the way, if you weren't here, you missed a unique event. Because all of the boys and girls, their award was to get a basketball. Now, previously, they gave them deflated basketballs. But this year, they made it really special. They added very expensive air to the basketballs. And if you've never been in a room with 250 boys and girls, elementary age, and put a basketball in their hands, this place sounded like thunder. It was an exciting time. Fortunately, they did it right at the end of the time, okay? But it was an exciting night. It was exciting for the boys and girls. It was exciting for the parents. And I thank God for the humble service that goes on. You don't put on and accomplish these kind of ministries to build relationships with people, with one or two people. It takes a team of folks working together. I thank God for the humble service. But then I wanted tonight just to park for a moment on this personal outreach. And that's the one Acts 1:8 verse. We're familiar with it, but let's read it once again. Acts 1:8, Jesus speaking here said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, here it is, the promise that here in the church age in which we live, the Holy Spirit would indwell believers. And the Holy Spirit, regardless of our personalities, of our various giftedness, we all would be given grace to be Christ's witnesses. This isn't limited to a select few. It is the calling for the whole body of believers. For we who name the name of Christ, God wants to give us a love, a compassion that causes us to witness for Christ, to speak a word for Jesus, to speak up in friendship, in love, in relationship, in caring, and in sharing the gospel. And I was encouraged just this last week, looking back at God's faithfulness through his body. That is, on Grow Night, walked in here and we've had interruptions and different things, and the weather hasn't always cooperated, but there was a group of folks over here faithfully on Grow Night. Some came to go make visits. Some came to make phone calls or write letters, but there were folks who just faithfully were here saying, "Outreach is part of my calling, and I'm putting it in my schedule, and I appreciate your faithfulness." So many of you have just sought to make outreach a part of your life 24/7. All year long, you're looking for opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Well, the faithfulness of God, you never know when you say a word for Christ how God will bless it. And we want to do even a better job, I pray, in the years ahead. As you see God be faithful, and it's God who does it, but he does his work through his people. And you see God connecting things to share those things. And we'd like to write up the testimonies as we see God do his work through his church, through his people. And I hope you'll be journaling and jotting things down. And when you really see an answer to prayer, write it down, write it up and pass it into us that we could share those things within the body to encourage one another. Well, here's something that encouraged me. Number one, I just shared with you a fellow who showed up this morning in church because he came to a special event. How did he come? People in this body invited him to that event. Now he's back hearing the gospel in a Bible-believing church today. That encouraged me. That encouraged my heart. I want to just share a blessing because there's a lot of times you do what God prompts you to do, but you never know the results of it. And you won't until you get to heaven. Once in a while, God lets us know. And we often remember it because it encourages us. I remember well over 15 years ago, a guy named Mike Myers who came to our church. And Mike ended up marrying a girl named Denise Eckert down from the Davidson area. Anybody here still remember Mike Myers? Let me see. Yeah, there's some hands out there. Okay. Well, I know the years are going on because he told me he's got a 15-year-old. So I think that happened after they left here, I think. So the years are going by. Well, this is something that many of you do. And you, when you do it, you don't always know. And this is one that I was prompted to do, and God let me know. And I'm letting you know because it hopefully will encourage you. Been coming to our church. He was a single guy. And he came pretty faithfully. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't here. And the Lord just prompted that on my heart. I ought to give Mike a call and just encourage him. And I did. I made that phone call. Do I always do God's promptings? No. And a lot of times, you know, I'm ashamed of it. I often write things down and then I never get around to it, to do it. But this was one of those I did it by God's grace. I called Mike. And sure enough, after that, he started coming back. And later he said to me, he said, Pastor Dan, I just want you to know, I was really going through a time of discouragement. And just that phone call, God, the Holy Spirit, used that. And it helped me get over the hurdle of my discouragement. And sure enough, that time, once he got back here, he blossomed. And he grew spiritually, ended up meeting a Christian girl, having a godly Christian marriage and family. That's many, many years ago. Well, now to bring it up to date of a blessing even this week, of this pillar of personal outreach, how God wants to use us all. And you never know, just a word of encouragement, you personally noticing somebody in your group, whatever small group that is, Sunday school class, wherever, that they used to be here and they're not here anymore. And you just make that little outreach, how God can use that to make a difference. A word of encouragement in due season. Mike shared that with me, and I knew that it helped him, but I hadn't thought about Mike Myers in a long time. I got a phone call this week from Mike Myers. He said, Pastor Dan, my dad has terminal cancer. And he said, I am so burdened for him. We've been praying for him for years. And he said they just moved back from the Sioux into the Midland area. And he said, I am really broken up right now. It's just hard for me to handle this. Because they've diagnosed him that it's terminal, he'll be going on hospice, and he has brain cancer. And he said, would you go up to the hospital and talk to my dad? I said, I'd be glad to. You pray. Well, he's been praying. They've been praying as a family for years. And, of course, as you know, and those of you who've done this, when you go to talk to someone who previously has not been open, you know that if there's any openness there, it's going to be God who created that. It's going to be answered prayer. Our job is not to save, but to be obedient, to be God's witnesses. And so on our grow night, that was my grow visit. I'd just gotten that call, and I went up to the hospital praying a lot and saying, Lord, this is in your hands. And to my encouragement, I found his father to be very open, still very able to clearly talk and reason and have conversation. And we just had a great time of an opportunity to, in a friendly way, share with them God's love, the hope that we have, the assurance that there can be forgiveness of sin in Christ, that we can have a home in heaven. And we just planted some seed, left a couple gospel tracts there, and the one he wanted to hold and he wanted to read after I left. And so I was very encouraged that he was receptive. And so some more prayer, and the next night I had the privilege of going back up there. And again, with both he and his wife, the first night had been just him, and then the family showed up at the door, but they didn't come in. But this time, his wife was right there with him. And Mike had told me both mom and dad had not been receptive previously. But you know, their hearts were open. And I just had the privilege of sharing the message of Christ, the love of Christ, the gospel of Christ. And about the time as we were kind of getting down to wrap it up, his wife got a phone call, and she had to go out and talk with some of the nurses, and so I just had the privilege of being there just alone with him. And I asked him, Del, does this make sense to you? And he said, yes, it does. And could I pray for you? And would you put your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, repenting of your sin, trusting Christ to save you? And he indicated, yes, yes. And so we had the privilege of praying together and just seeing him have a humble heart and call on the Lord. And I was so thankful. And I said, you know, that's the grace of God. There's a man whose heart wasn't open, but now, yes, through needy circumstances where he has been faced with his own mortality and his own great need, yet I've seen people in that condition be as hard as ever. He wasn't. He was softened. God was working through the prayers of God's people, and I'm sure through Mike and his family over the years. Well, I simply share that story with you to encourage you. God does reward our work. God does bring people to faith. He does a work in the hearts of people. And I look out right now and I see folks here who I know you've come to faith even in the last year or 2 years. You are a newer believer in Christ. You're living evidence that God is at work in his church. And I wanted just to take this time tonight to encourage you that these four pillars, Christ-like love, humble service, personal outreach, and godly stewardship, these need to be core values that we hold dear. Why? Because they're biblical values. And as we hold these values dear in our hearts and let them become a part of what drives us, God will continue to reward our work. He will be faithful as we are faithful. Tonight, we'll be voting on a motion about fixing up our parking lots. We wouldn't even be voting on this motion except that fourth one, godly stewardship. God's people have been faithful. You've given. People have tithed. They've given offerings. And people have given over and above their tithes and offerings so that these facilities could be paid off. So now we're in a position to move ahead and do other things because those things have been taken care of. And so I pray that these values will continue to be our values and that together we'll trust God for great and mighty things.